Begin the current daf, Masechta Bamabasa, daf Kufi Dalet. Begin on the fourth line down for the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara begins a new discussion related to the topic that was mentioned, one of the halachas mentioned in the previous daf. As the Gemara begins, Itmar, we learned as follows. Regarding a kinyan, a formal acquisition that was done, whether what's called a matnas bari by a healthy person, or whether it was even matnas shchivmara by someone that's a little bit ill, but we're talking about where he went and he did a kinyan with that. Specifically, as the Rishayim explained, the kinyan of Chalipin, which is a transfer of, for example, what's usually used, which is called kinyan suda, that of a kerchief. On that, the Gemara asked the following question. Regarding when he wants to be makd, he wants to go ahead and give something to somebody, and he's doing the kinyan of Chalipin, ad emasai chazer, until when could he back out from this kinyan and void it? Because although he gave the kerchief, he didn't yet 100% consider that he wants it to be a done deal yet. Until he first could verify the stipulation that he wants with that what he's gifting. Or if he wants that he wants to be able to back out right after he does that kinyan of sudur, because as Rashbam explains, Rabbanan understood that when the person does this kinyan, his intention is that he wants to first think about it afterwards and know if he really wants to go through with it to make it into a 100% type of a kinyan. So the assumption is, as the Gemara is going with, that a person could back out. The only question is, until how long does he have to back out of this kinyan that he's being makna? So that the Gemara says, Machlokes Amayrom. Rabba Amar, he says, Kol Zman Sheyeshvin, as long as they're still sitting, it was with that intention that he was being makna, that is, if he doesn't back out when they're having this get-together, then it's going to go ahead and pass through as a full-fledged kinyan. But if he backs out while they're still sitting around, he could void it. Rabbi Yisav Amar, he says, no, Kol Zman Sheyeshkin Bo Isa Inyan. Even if they're still sitting, it has to be that they're still involved with that topic of this gift. If they already moved on to another topic, even though they're still sitting, he can't back out anymore. That's the machlekes. So I'm Rav Yisav, he says, Kavosi didi mistab. It's more logical to say, like the way I said it, that it has to be that they're still talking about that topic. Because, Dam Rav Yehuda, now he quotes the halacha that we mentioned in the previous daf. Rav Yehuda said, Shleisha shenichnesu levakras achayla, regarding three individuals that go to visit a sick person. Which that's talking about a case of someone, what's called a shchiv merah. He's a person that's on his deathbed, and he gives a partial matna shchiv merah, which is because he does with a kinyan. He doesn't just say it, where we say that his words are like a done deal. He does it with a kinyan, where the halacha is that he can't back out anymore. Said Rabbi Yehuda, Ratzu kaisvin, ratzu eisendin, as we explained in the previous stuff, if they want, they could be like witnesses where they write it down, or if they want, they could actually be the bezdin themselves. And when they go ahead and they decide what's happening over here, it's like a done deal. It's like bezdin already paskin because there are three people. Now that, says Rabbi Yisav Yisak, if you would entertain to say, like my disputant, like Rabbam, that calls manchiyach and aloch is that as long as they're still sitting, even if they're done with this topic, as long as they're still sitting, then the one who's giving the gift could back out. Well, then lechers dil mahadar bay, then we should be concerned that maybe the shchimra is going to back out. So why does Rabbi Huda say, Ratzu eisen din, if they want to, these three individuals, they could go and be the bezdin right there in that sitting, which sounds like in that situation, even though they're still sitting, they can make a full-fledged din. But why? Since this dying person could back out and void the whole thing, so how could they make, quote, a din? You can't make a din. We're still sitting. You're going to go and paskin? That's not going to help anything because according to Rabba, he could still back out once we're all still sitting. So Amr Rav Ashi said that I'm Ritla Shmaita Kamed Rav Kahana, that I said over this statement of Rav Yosef in front of Rav Kahana, and I was questioning this, and I asked him, what do you mean? Well, Rav Yosef Minicha, what? And according to Rav Yosef, it does make sense? Valechesh Demahadur Bey. According to Rav Yosef, you should also be concerned that maybe the dying person, this one that they're coming to visit, is going to back out. Now, Elamayas Chalamemus, so says Rav Ashi. So what would you have to say according to Rav Yosef? You would have to say, Disliku, as we continue to Medbeis, Menyana, Linyana, that they had already gone from this topic, they stopped talking about it, and they went and started talking about and doing other things. Now, then is what you would say Rabbi Huda's halacha was. If they want to, they could do the din, because they already moved on to another topic, and according to Rav Yosef, then you can't back out anymore. Because as long as they're still involved in that topic, then they wouldn't be able to make a din. So it says Rav Ashi, Zochanami, then you could say the same thing for Rabba. To kamu v'habdu yisivu. It'd be talking about that they stood up. They weren't sitting anymore. And then they sat back down. And therefore, you could go ahead and make a din according to Rabbi Yehuda Zalocha, even according to Rabba. So therefore, there's no proof from Yosef anymore. Just like for him, you have to move on from the topic to another topic. So according to Rabba, you could say that it could be they got up and they sat back down. So therefore, it's not anymore a dying Yoshman And according to both interpretations, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha would make sense. That concludes the Gemara of the Hilchos HaKavaseid, Rabbi Yosef, halacha falls like Rabbi Yosef only in three areas, because everywhere else we pass can actually like a dispute in Rabbah. And the three areas are Basada, which was actually, all these three are in Baba Basra. The first one is in the first parak in Dafyud Beis Mabez, where Rabbi Yosef said that the brothers could tell this one brother who, when they're splitting their father's inheritance, and he has a field that's neighboring one of the father's fields, he says, give me this field, because anyway, I gain, you guys don't lose. On that, Rabbi Yosef said, no, the brothers could tell him that, no, we consider your field that you want to get from our father, like Nechsei de Bamerian, which are very expensive ones, and therefore you don't necessarily get it. You would have to compensate us. Inyan, which is this topic we're discussing right here, where the halacha does follow Rav Yosef, that it's only that it can back out as long as they're still on the topic. But if they move on from the topic, even if they're still sitting, we do not pass on like Rabbah, rather like Rav Yosef, that he can't back out anymore. Umechtz, and the third one is later on, Perek Mishameis, Tavkov Mem Gimlam and Aleph, where if someone tells his wife, Nichsei Lech V'Levreich, my properties, my estate is for you and your son, and that Rav Yosef says that she acquires half, because he expounds when it says, like, that should be for Aaron and his sons, which means half Aaron, half her sons. So when he says it's for you and my children, it means half is for you. These three halachas that Rav Yosef says, we pass them like him and not like Rabbah, although everyone else we pass them like Rabbah. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halach of our Mishnah, which started off this parak about four different categories of people regarding inheritance. There are those, like it says, yesh neichlin umanchilin, they inherit from that other party and they bequeath it to that party. Then there are those that are neichlin v'loy manchilin, they inherit but they do not bequeath to that other one. Then there's a third category that the Gemara quotes from Aisha es b'na v'chulu, that a woman regards to her son, that they are manchilin v'loy neichlin, they only bequeath to that other party, but do not inherit, meaning a woman, only when she dies, her son inherits, but when her son dies, she does not inherit from him. Now, Chulu, which talks about the other cases in this same category. And that asks the Gemara, Hasu Lamali. Why did the Mishnah have to say this third category, for example, the case that it starts off with, of Aisha Espina, why does it have to say that a woman regarding her son, that she's Mancheles V'loy Necheles, when she dies, she bequeaths to him, but when her son dies, she does not inherit from him? Hatana Le Reisha, we already learned this in the previous category, which is said, Ha'ish Es Imai, we said that a man regarding his mother, that he is Noichel V'loy Manchel, he inherits from her, but does not bequeath to her. So you already know that it's the inverse of that case. So to the other case that the Mishnah describes, it says, Ve'ish Es Baila, it says that a woman regarding her husband, oh, she's Menacheles V'loy Nancheles, she only bequeaths to him when she dies, but when he dies, she does not inherit from him. That also we learned from the previous category, which is said, Vo'ish es ishtoi, regarding a man and his wife, says that he inherits from her but does not bequeath to her. So to the third category, the third case that the Mishnah talks about in the third category, which it talks about the mother's brothers, where it says that when they die, they're manchel to their nephews, to their sister's sons, but if their nephews die, they're not neichel from them. That also was learned out from the third case of the previous category, which I spoke about, the sons of the sisters of a man, where they inherit from their uncle, but they do not bequeath them. What's the purpose of saying this third category? You already know it from the flip side of the previous category. Says the Gemara, Hakamash Malan. This is what the Mishnah is being mechadish to us by telling us this third category, which seemingly is superfluous, because we already know it from the flip side of the second category, is actually what would seem to be an incidental thing. Because it's coming to compare the first two cases of the Isha as Bina, it wants to compare when a woman dies that she bequeaths to her son, Dumi the Isha as Baila, to compare it to a woman that when she dies that she bequeaths to her husband. And it's in that same idea how a woman bequeaths to her husband that a woman bequeaths to her son. What does that mean? So says the Gemara. Ma Isha as Baila, just like a woman regards to her husband, Ein Habal Yerish as Ishta Bakever, a man does not inherit his wife when she's in the grave. In other words, she does not bequeath to him what would have been fit for her to inherit had she been alive after she's already dead. Rather, as the Gemara taught us on the previous daf of Kof Yud Gimel, it's only what she's muchzig on, only what she already took possession on, and she inherited, let's say, from her father, then she dies, then the husband inherits, as we learned from Sukkim, that a husband only inherits from his wife regarding that which she already got, but not something that she would have been fit to inherit had she not been in the grave. Rather, if she's already in the grave, then either her son or her daughter inherits her, and if she doesn't have a child, then whoever's closer to those who bequeath to her come first, but the husband does not inherit it. So says the Gemara, that's why the Mishnah was saying this third category was to compare the other case of Af Isha Es Bina so too a woman regarding her son is also ein ha ben yerushas ima bekevret, saying the same idea that a son does not inherit his mother when she's in the grave. In other words, what that means to say is, she will not bequeath to him what would have been fit for him to inherit from her after his death, lahanchala achin min ha'av, to then go ahead and bequeath that to his paternal brothers. In other words, so that his relatives from his father's side should get it and not his maternal relatives. So for example, let's say if the son dies and only afterwards does his mother die. What the chiddush, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, you're right, the whole category we already know from the second category. It's just being said so that we compare these two cases, that this son who's already died and he's already in the grave before his mother died, he does not go now in the grave, inherit his mother, so that now that he inherits his mother, who inherits him because he's already dead, are his paternal brothers. No, we don't say that. Rather, we say that the relatives of the woman, the relatives of her father, because the father will get from her, will inherit this woman. And says Rashbam that this halacha is based on logic. Because since the son already died before her, so already he already lost the strength of inheriting his mother, so we don't say that he inherits it and then it goes to his paternal brothers. And that we're learning off from the comparison to a woman and her husband, just like he does not inherit her in the grave, so too the son does not inherit the mother when he's in the grave. Now, however, the reason why it was necessary to teach us this idea that he does not inherit his mother when he's in the grave, if it's so logical, is because actually we would have thought to say that the Pasuk says two times lay seisav, that we should not go ahead and change the destination of where the inheritance was supposed to go. And that both of them are talking about Besibes HaBen, which is regarding that the son's inheritance. So we would have thought to say that one is talking about when the mother dies first, and then he inherits her. And the other one we would thought would be teaching us that even if the son died first and then she died after him, that still that the inheritance should be maintained with the fidelity of the son, which is that although he's dead, but should go to the son and the son's relatives, which are paternally related. That's what this extra case, this extra category that Mishnah is coming to teach us, that no, that the son does not inherit what's called bero, what would have been fit for him to get. And although there's an extra pasuk laisisa of that, the Gemara already taught on Kofiyud Beis and Mabeis what you do with those extra pesukim. Now, the Rashbam does, however, address, so that only answers regarding the first two cases to compare the husband does not inherit his wife bero. Again, what that means to say is what she would have been fit to inherit had she not been in the grave. So we compare the case of the son to the mother, which is actually he's in the grave, and we don't say what he would have been fit to inherit, that as if now he inherits it, now his paternal brothers get it, so we understand that case. But there's actually a third case. It says, Achei Ha'em, which is the flip side of the third case of the previous category, which is the mother's brothers, that they're manchel to their nephews, but they're not neichel. Why does Mishnah say that third case? And this is Rashbam, that's because it's saying this third category, which have three cases in the previous, so therefore it says this one, you're right, that's unnecessary to teach us anything really, because it's only teaching us regarding the first two cases that we're comparing them. Now, Rashbam, however, does address another question based on the Gemara's question. If we're asking when it's an unnecessary category and the Gemara agrees to that, and therefore it says a different reason why the Mishnah says it, then why by the first two cases of Yesh Neichel Machilin does it mention that a father and a son and the father, where we would have known one case and the other, where if you're saying you're Neichel and Manchil, you're obviously saying the flip side of the father is also Neichel and Manchil. And this says Rashbam that no, since we're mentioning all the cases that are Neichel and Manchil, so we mention it because it's mentioning all the cases that inherit and bequeath. But here it's the entire category of Manchilin v'loy Neichilin is totally superfluous because already said the previous second category of Neichil v'loy Manchilin, that's what the Gemara asks as a question, therefore has to give an answer like it does, that is teaching us something agav, incidental of teaching of a comparison regarding this halacha, which, again, as Rashbam explains this logic of the halacha that's teaching us that a son does not inherit his mother in the grave, could be compared to the halacha that we had learned previously regarding a woman in the grave. That is that when she's in the grave, she does not inherit her father to go ahead and bequeath it to her husband. That's the same logic that the Mishnah is comparing here also. When the son is in the grave, we don't say that he inherits his mother to bequeath it to his paternal brothers. And that's the halacha that we're comparing from these two. Now the Gemara continues with a halacha related to the halacha of a Mishnah. Amar b'yechanan mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon, which Rashbam addresses that why I say mishum. Mishum is because Rabbi Shimon was not his permanent teacher. That's why it says mishum in the name. But there, because Rabbi Yechon was not accustomed to saying over the teachings in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon. But from his own teacher, it usually says Amr B'yechad and Amr B'yanai, where that's what he constantly says over. But anyway, the halacha that he says over from Yehudah and Mishimon is Divat Torah, according to biblical law, in other words, that you could learn that from the Pasuk, Ha'av Yerush is Benoi, that a father inherits his son, and the same thing applies to his daughter, as we taught in the beginning of the parak. The Isha Yerush says Benoi, and a woman inherits her son, and something would apply to her daughter. Specifically, again, this whole halacha would apply only if there's no father, but if the father would also be alive, then he would come before the mother. Because for sure, for that purpose, we would say that as the Gemara had addressed earlier and said that only paternal family is called mishpacha, and the pasuk specifies mishpacha, which for sure would give preference and precedence for the she'er ha'av, for the paternal relationship, before the she'er ha'am, the maternal relationship. But let's say if there's no father, then the mother also inherits her children. How do we know this? Because it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar Matis, which we had already pointed out in the Gemara Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Aleph, the pasuk says of Chol Bas Yereshes Nachal Mematis, that any woman that inherits from tribes, so they was told about the times of splitting up of Eretz Yisrael, times of Yeshua, they couldn't marry a man from a different tribe, which we explained. But the Matis is plural, telling us that she's inheriting from two different tribes, which we said Makish Matiyo Aim Lamateh Av. Which we compare, two different tribes. How she inherited from two different tribes? Her mother's from one tribe, her father's from a different tribe. So it says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, so what we learn from this comparison is Ma Mateav, therefore just like the tribe of the father, Av Yerushas Benai, meaning in regards to the father's relationship of inheritance, a father inherits a son, so it's comparing Av Mateim, so to the tribe of the mother, Isha Yerushas Benai. A mother inherits her son, and therefore you could learn that from this pasuk of Matis, Rabbi Shimon, a halacha, according to biblical law, a mother inherits her children just like a father inherits her children.